my place in tech changes every day. But I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98, because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.
For the sixth week in a row, it's a good day to be a knight. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whenever you may be listening. This is The Night Shift, your destination for all things Marion University football. I'm your host, Braden Kidd. We got another exciting show in store for you all today. I would like to sincerely apologize to you all for not being here, not doing a show last week. Marion University, we did have our fall break, so that threw off the timeline a little bit. Plus, I was absolutely sick as a dog, so I didn't want to put you all through listening to my nasally self in that moment, and I especially didn't want to risk getting any of the players sick if I were to have interviewed any of them while being sick. So I appreciate you guys' understanding with that, but we are back better than ever this week. The Knights have now won six in a row. Their only loss is still only the Division II U Indy all the way from back in August. The Knights are absolutely rolling right now, and the thoughts of a ring at the end of the season are really, really, really starting to creep in. At least for me, they are. I won't speak on behalf of the team, but those thoughts are certainly there for me. We're going to break down the game with St. Francis, Indiana from this past Saturday. We're going to break down the game against number 19, Olivet Nazarene, this Saturday. We're going to have a special guest on the show. We're going to have a little bit of academic research to top it all off, and that'll be that. It's the Night Shift, so let's get right into it. It was a lot of things this past Saturday. It was the homecoming game. It was also the Franciscan Bowl, the infamous matchup between your Marion Knights and the St. Francis, Indiana Cougars. And let me tell you, folks, your Knights were out for blood in their first conference matchup of the season. If you'll remember back to last season, your Marion Knights suffered two losses on that entire regular season, one of which was the 77-21 loss at the hands of Indiana Wesleyan. We talked about that game and its implications back when we had our matchup with them a few weeks back this season. And the other defeat last year, in fact, came in the Franciscan Bowl. The Cougars of St. Francis defeated your Knights last year in a heart-wrenching fashion, winning by just a field goal with a final score of 31-28. Make no mistake about it. That game was the reason your Marion Knights did not make it into the postseason last year. If they would have defeated USF Indiana, we would have a much different outlook on this season than what we currently have. However, I think the circumstances coming into this season have truly brought the best out of this Marion program. This season truly, just to me, I can't speak for anyone else, but to me, it just feels like a redemption tour. They're playing at a high level. They're putting very talented programs on notice. One of those programs now being St. Francis, Indiana, coming off the heartbreaking loss to the Cougars last year, you knew the Knights were going to come into this game looking for vengeance. And vengeance is exactly what they got. The Knights came away victorious in this game, 49-0, improving their all-time record against USF Indiana, to a respectable 13-8. This was the first time in the history of this matchup that the Knights have shut out the Cougars, and this game also marked the largest margin of victory ever in this matchup as well. Make no mistake about it, this past Saturday was yet another statement made by this Marion football program. These are the types of victories you expect them over the Judsons and Madonnas of the world. And I feel like Judson and Madonna, they catch so many strays from me on this show. I'm sorry, Judson and Madonna. We love you. Not really. But, you know, your fans love you. You guys have a special place in their heart. But on the night shift, you're my source of slander. I'm sorry. This type of victory, though, it's not what you expect when your team is going up against St. Francis, Indiana. St. Francis, Indiana is notoriously that cockroach of a football team. They are going to, you look at that matchup and you're like, it's one that we should probably win, but it's probably going to be close. They're a pretty talented football team. They got a lot of talented guys. This USF program was ranked number 24 in the nation coming into last Saturday. They're still led by Josh Kolka this season after the fantastic year that he had last season. This is a very solid program that the Knights were up against last Saturday. And the Knights absolutely steamrolled them. Now, I'm taking nothing away from this Marion Knights offense and what they were able to do last Saturday. They put up 49 points against the top 25 opponent. By all means, they did their part. However, I have finally seen a defensive performance from this Marion football team that I feel obligated to talk about. This was their first shutout victory of the season. And like I said, it didn't come against a Madonna or a Judson or a Defiance. It came against the number 24 Cougars of St. Francis, Fort Wayne, Indiana. I know this is the night shift where we talk about the Knights, but make no mistake about it, the Knights played like absolute dogs on Saturday. There were two things that I'm going to point out on the defensive side of things in this game, and they relatively go hand in hand with one another. Number one, the Knights didn't let USF do anything on the ground in this game. Not a thing. The Cougars ended this game with a net total of 11 rushing yards. Now, I will say there is a caveat to that. NAIA stats keeping is a little bit interesting in that I do believe sacks go down as a loss of team rushing yards. So It makes for the job of the statisticians of the world to be a little bit interesting. But nonetheless, I still believe that the yards gained, not the net total, but the yards gained on the ground by St. Francis, Indiana in that game, it was in the 70s. They were still held to a minimal amount. And that's how you tell a program, that's how you shut down a program and say, I'm not going to let you play complimentary football. You better pass it and pass it at an elite level or we are going to eat you alive. And by God, the Marion Knights ate the Cougars alive. Which brings me to my next point, which is turnovers. Your Marion Knights forced 5 takeaways last Saturday, 4 picks, 1 forced fumble. That is a season high enforced turnovers for this Knights defense. As I was saying, in terms of complimentary football, the Cougars had one chance to get any offense going, and it was the passing game. And we did not let them get anything going in that respect. The final stat line for Josh Kolka on Saturday, 151 yards through the air and 4 picks. 0 touchdowns, obviously. It was a shutout victory for the Knights. Mind you, I know I said it earlier, but Josh Kolka is not a scrub, you guys. This is a truly gifted quarterback who can sling the football when you need him to. The NAIA regular season, mind you, is 12 games long. This guy had 36 touchdowns last year and just 9 picks. Coming into this past Saturday, he only had 3 picks on this season. This dude has been efficient. He has taken care of the football. He has arguably done everything right. Marion came into this game and more than doubled Kolka's interception total for the season. What your Marion Knights defense did on Saturday was nothing short of special. And it's exactly why, for the first time this season, your Marion Knights are in the top 10 in the NAIA polls, taking over the number 8 spot this week. When you come out, like I've been saying, when you come out and dominate a ranked opponent the way the Knights did on Saturday, NAIA coaches are going to treat you pretty well in the polls. Believe me. Special shout-outs to all the guys on the defensive side for Marion that made this shutout happen. Caden Hausman leading the team in tackles this past Saturday. Isaiah Street getting himself a couple sacks and a forced fumble with two additional quarterback hurries. A great game by him. Samirion Ford getting himself a sack. Logan Carrington getting himself a pick. Yasin Folk with a pick. Rice Walker with a pick. And Curtis Faust with a pick. These are just a few names, but all around, fantastic job. Congratulations to this Marion defense for a spectacular showing, and we hope to see it again this Saturday against another ranked opponent. Coming up next, we're going to welcome our special guest for the week into the studio, and we'll talk a bit more about the Franciscan Bowl. We'll hit on the current locker room morale, and we'll take a bit of a look at this upcoming matchup with number 19, Olivet Nazarene, this Saturday. All that coming up next. This is the Night Shift. We'll be right back.
My place in tech changes every day. But I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
We now welcome into the studio one of your star linebackers for your Marion Knights defense, one of the men responsible for the big old goose egg that the Cougars of St. Francis got this past Saturday, Ohio native Caden Hausman. Caden, thank you so much for joining me on the Night Shift today. How you doing?
Good, good. Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. You're warming up. Caden just got out of practice, so
yeah, it was good.
Warming up.
Yeah. It was a cold, breezy one out there, but I got a sweatshirt. I had a sweatshirt on.
Any Midwestern native will tell you it is the wind that gets you, and everyone says it, but we're not lying. And I'm a Chicago suburban native, so I get that. But Caden, last Saturday marked actually the largest victory of all time for Marion over St. Francis in the Franciscan Bowl, they called it. I actually just figured that out today. Never knew it was called that. That was a name that I just expected to be coined to, like, the St. Francis on St. Francis matchup. Never knew it was a Marion on St. Francis, Indiana thing. But you guys shut them out for the first time ever as well. It was your biggest victory over them of all time, and it was your first shutout of all time against them. And they were the 24th team in the nation. We're talking about a ranked team. We're not talking about a Judson or a Madonna. We know what you guys did to Madonna. You beat them by 51 already. But what allowed you guys to be so dominant in this game, especially coming off a game against maybe not a powerhouse defense, but we were just talking about a powerhouse offense in Taylor. So a big turnaround for the defense coming back with a shutout against a ranked team. What allowed you guys to be so dominant?
Just starting off, last year we lost to them. I think it was the first loss in about 7 to 8 years. So that one stuck with us. And two, they were the main reason we got knocked out of the playoffs last year. So not only that sticks with us year-round, we had a new D coordinator. We just believed in the system, and we just had a great week of practice, truthfully. From all levels, the scouts, special team, offense, defense, we knew it meant more because, you know, this is a playoff game. Every game for the rest of the year is a playoff game. We all trusted the process, and we went out there on all phases, offense, defense, and special teams played together, and we dominated nonetheless.
You guys surely did. Shutout, it doesn't get any more dominant than that. And I already emphasized it, but like I said, we're talking about what was a ranked team last week. These aren't scrubs. I mean, Josh Kolka, the quarterback for St. Francis, I've covered him for a couple of years now that he's been starting over there. You guys picked him off four times. And I want to, again, make this very clear, like, that man is not a scrub. I've seen that man give teams a lot of issues over the past couple of years. And, like, putting things in perspective, he had 9 picks in the regular season last year. He threw 36 touchdowns. NAI is a 12-game regular season. Now, granted, there are, like, this isn't the NFL. It's not, like, you don't face 12 teams that are all pros. Like, there are definitely some bad teams you face along the way, and maybe you rack up 6 touchdowns in that game. But 36 touchdowns in a 12-game season is insane. And coming into last Saturday, he only had 3 interceptions on the year. So you guys more than doubled his pick total on the year. So, again, what allowed you guys to have him so figured out? I know you're a linebacker yourself, but what allowed your guys' secondary to just have a Hawkeye on the football the entirety of that game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was just a lot of scheme pre-snap and post-snap what we were showing him, just different pictures, trying to change it up on him. And I think it was the constant pressure of our D-line. I think he had a little bit of worry, especially because he kept getting pressure in his face. And they didn't have a run game. I think they had about 11 total rushing yards. So when you become – when you take a team one-dimensional, they're very obvious. So then you can kind of get into some – you know, drop eight type of defenders, and that's really hard to kind of route up a defense on, and our DBs played exceptional, and they had a ball hawk that day, and I think four, that's probably the best it's ever been in the Franciscan Bowl.
Yeah, I believe so, now that you say it. And I've been talking about it every week because all you guys have done is continued to surge up. You guys are on a six-game win streak. Your only loss was to a D2 team, which is nothing to be ashamed of, obviously. But you guys keep making your ways up the polls. You went from 11th to 8th. This is your first time in the top 10 this season. And I would argue that maybe aside from the Indiana Wesleyan game, this may have been your guys' biggest statement of the year to this point. Shutting out a ranked team, whether they be only the second team in the polls or not, 49-0 against a ranked team. Overall, it just seems that when things can't be going any better, you guys have continued to outdo yourselves. So what is just the driving force for the team right now? And I've been asking this to your teammates for the past few weeks now. Are those thoughts of a ring at the end of the season kind of starting to creep in? You guys are now definitely in the conversation of, oh, is this the best team in the country? So are those thoughts starting to creep in?
I think we just take it one game at a time because we know if we don't win the next game, that's always the most important game. The next game is the most important game. If you don't win conference, you don't get in the playoffs. So the big picture, like last year, we were co-champs. We didn't win it outright. We didn't get a bid to the playoffs, and that sat with us, like we said. So now we got Olivet Nazarene coming up. That's a great team, and we're on the road. So we just take it one game at a time, and I think we'll be where we want at the end of the season.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought them up because I was just about to go there. We talked about Taylor a little bit a couple minutes ago, and before we turn the mics on here, a lot of these NAIA teams, I feel like they were kind of average or bad a couple years ago, and we just see some of them just surging out of nowhere. And Olivet Nazarene is certainly one. Number 19, the Tigers are right now. Now, like up to this point, Olivet Nazarene has faced a lot of teams that are either kind of middle of the road or just not that good. I would argue personally, the reason for Olivet being where they're at in the polls right now is ironically enough because of their lone loss. They only lost by a point to Indiana Wesleyan, and I brought that point up when you guys were about to face Indiana Wesleyan. I was like, Indiana Wesleyan only lost to or only beat Olivet by a point? Like, is this the Indiana Wesleyan that I've known for 2 years? But no, it turns out it's not the Olivet that I've known for the past 2 years. Olivet has just come out of nowhere this season, and you know, for me as an analyst, I do have to look at it and decipher, hey, are these guys, is this just a hot streak? But nonetheless, they've made huge strides from years prior. They're averaging just shy of 500 yards of offense per game right now, and they're putting up 45 points per game. So what's been the focus of preparation for these guys?
Yeah, they're a great team, like we said. We've been trying to break down as much film as possible. They got a good scrambling quarterback. We got to try to contain him as best as possible. And they love the big plays. So if we can limit explosive plays and kind of make them earn it, and if we just keep our brand of defense that we had last week, I think we will be where we want at the end of that game on Saturday.
Absolutely. And I hope to see it. Would love to see that win streak get extended to 7. And for you brought it up in your own right, just – the thought process of every game being a playoff game. For those of you out there who are listening to this that don't follow NAIA football too closely, but you're sort of getting into it, it truly is that way. If, like, in the NFL, we've seen sub-500 teams get into the playoffs. In college, NCAA, NAIA, all levels of college football, you lose a game, that is significant, no matter who the loss comes against. So, just... it really is a one game at a time mentality, and I think people take for granted just how big every single one of these games are. They look at the big kind of dates circled on the calendar, you know, your Indiana Wesleyan games of the year, just all the big name, big opponents, and they don't realize how important the importance of those games that fall in between. But Caden, finishing it off today, this is something that I have coined for the show. It's called the night shift extra point question, where I ask you and other teammates I've had on the show in the past just what it means to you to be a Knight, to be a part of this team. I know that this year you're a redshirt sophomore, so you maybe haven't had quite as much experience with the team, haven't seen quite as many highs and lows as some of the other people I've had on, but still, over the past year, you've really come into your own. You've become a big, significant part of this defense. So through that whole process, what has it meant to you to be a part of the team and to be a Knight?
It means really everything. I think it's a culture thing to start. Marin's known for winning, being dominant, and it's expecting to go to the playoffs and win championships. I want to be a part of a winning team. That was a big part of my my process and commitment to go here. Not only do they have great academics, but I'm a winner. I want to be a part of a winning team. And during that, I know that you have to wait your turn. So that means, you know, when you're a freshman, you might be on scout team grinding, but that's okay. Because when you're a sophomore, junior, senior, you're going to be out there and you're going to be playing for a championship. You're going to be playing for a ring. So if you keep your – I just kind of had a mindset where I had my eye on the bigger prize, and that just keeps pushing you every day. That's in the off season. That's at practice, just trying to push everybody to be the best they can be. And that's just where my mindset's been, trying to be a Knight too.
And – you brought up something that, if I'm not mistaken, every single one of your teammates that I've had on the show has brought up, and that's culture. And there was one week of the show, one episode, I don't remember which week it was, but I spoke on that kind of beyond just football everywhere in this university. I've made it very clear to my listeners by now that I'm a transfer student, and in that, I'm just looking at all the differences. And general, not even, we can go beyond the athletic department, just general university culture. There is a bigger family feel at Marion than what I felt at my past college and what I see at other colleges. I've said this to so many individuals, particularly for where my athletic talents lie, if you want to call it that. We'll save that for another day. Caden's laughing at me, and he knows exactly why. I know exactly why. You guys get to be left in the dark. There's a reason that this isn't a video podcast, and it's an audio only. But I'll digress from that. Back to my point of culture, I truly do believe Marion is one of maybe a couple colleges in the entire country that has that really, really, really strong culture. I know there are strong cultures everywhere, but it just feels so different at Marion. I don't know if you feel that, but I felt it from day one when I got here. I stepped on the campus. I looked at people's faces. People look happier. I felt happier because other people were happier. Everyone's getting along. Everybody's just cordial with one another. And you obviously see that bleed over into athletics, too. So all that was to say, you've said that, every single one of your other teammates that I've had on the show has said that, and I truly do believe there's a lot of truth to it, and I believe that's why we as a school win so much. But I'm going to let Caden get out of here because he just got out of practice. I'm sure he's got stuff to do. Caden, thank you so much for being a part of the show today.
Yes, thank you very much for having me.
We will be right back on the Night Shift to talk about this week's matchup with Olivet Nazarene, break that down, and what's to come. We'll be right back.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
This Saturday, your Marion Knights will travel northwest to Bourbonnais, Illinois. If you haven't heard of that, to my non-Illinois natives, it is in the middle of nowhere. But they'll be traveling up there to take on the number 19 Tigers of Olivet Nazarene. The Knights are currently undefeated in the all-time series between these two programs. Their last matchup was the closest matchup they have had of all time, but the Knights still came out on top with a 45-40 victory in that one. And that matchup was just short of a year ago. Make no mistake about it, folks. The ranking speaks for itself. This is easily the best Olivet Nazarene has ever looked in the history of them having a football program, at least I would say. When Marion began to face these guys almost two decades ago, those games were not close. It was a lot of shutouts, a lot of domination from the Knights. This Saturday's game will, without a doubt, be a lot more interesting. If we take a look at what Olivet has managed to do this season, I talked a little bit about it with when Caden was in the studio. They're putting up just shy of 500 yards of offense, and they're putting up 45 points per game. I do feel the need to play devil's advocate for a moment with regard to those statistics, because these are just observations that I have made while researching this football program and the season that they've had. Olivet Nazarene has, in my opinion, faced one singular strong program this entire season. And if you guys have looked at their schedule, you know exactly what that is. If you want my opinion, which clearly you do, or else you wouldn't be listening to me right now, the Tigers have faced one strong program this season, two decent programs, and the rest have been garbage. With that being said, it's really hard for me to decipher just how good these guys truly are. I can't really say too much about their game with Indiana Wesleyan and how they only lost by 1 point to them. Indiana Wesleyan is obviously the team that I would say is the one strong program that they've faced. Obviously, Indiana Wesleyan's not having as strong of a year as they have in previous years, but they are who they are. We all know who Indiana Wesleyan is and the type of ball club they are. But in terms of that game for Olivet Nazarene, I truly have no idea if whether or not that was all a fluke. They only lost 28-27. That's a game that I mentioned back before we faced Indiana Wesleyan. I was like, oh, what? Is this the same Indiana Wesleyan team that we've seen in recent years? And be that what it may, we ended up coming out victorious in that game, which proved to be very, very good for us in the polls. But in terms of whether or not that was a fluke for Olivet and taking them to the limit, I don't really know. I mean, at the end of the day, though, I have to give credit where credit is due. When this Olivet team is supposed to win a football game, they have won the football game, and they have been dominant in those football games. And to their credit, that's exactly why they're holding on to the number 19 spot in the NAIA. Do I think this is necessarily a scary game for Marion? I wouldn't say that. But I will say that if this Knights team shows up in Illinois and isn't at their best, Olivet will certainly take them to the limit. What is promising, in my opinion right now, is how great the defense is looking for Marion after last week, just like I talked about earlier in the show. I think we're going to continue to give Olivet a whole lot of issues when they have the football. Marion will be facing off against a veteran quarterback this Saturday, though. The senior, Christian Du Reed, has thrown for 253 yards per game through the air this year. He has 15 touchdowns to this point, and the most notable stat of them all, for me, he has only thrown a singular interception across the five games that he has participated in this season. This is a guy that takes care of the football just as well, if not better, than Josh Kolka, who we faced last week, does. But we were able to overcome Kolka last week, so hopefully we can do the same this week. On the ground, Olivet doesn't exactly have one rusher that sticks out, but they have an efficient group in terms of the ground game. They've been averaging just shy of 200 yards of rushing per game. Keyshawn Hughley has been efficient for them. Both of the Kahana Travis brothers have also been efficient, and Aaron Bennett has been efficient as well. So be on the lookout for them this Saturday. If Marion's front seven can shut those guys down, though, hopefully we get to see Christian Du Reed make some very rare mistakes on his end. Our defense certainly has the momentum rolling right now. We'll see if it can continue into Saturday over in Illinois. But coming up next, we're going to get into the academic research portion of the podcast. You're listening to Night Shift. We'll be right back. For the academic portion of this week's show, we're going to expand on two theories that we have already looked at in previous episodes, the agenda-setting theory and the framing theory. For the agenda-setting theory, we'll start with the agenda-setting function of mass media, an article written by McCombs and Shaw. So the key concepts gone over in this article are that when we think about the agenda-setting function of mass media, as the title of the article articulates, media may not tell people what to think, but it successfully tells them what to think about. In this sense, agenda setting equals the media's ability to influence the salience or importance of issues in public discourse. There's a strong correlation found in the study done within this article between media emphasis on campaign issues in politics and voters' judgment of the issue's importance. So the details behind this study, the 1968 presidential campaign in Chapel Hill, North Carolina was examined, compared voter perceptions of key issues with actual media content analysis. It analyzed newspapers, magazines, and TV broadcasts. And some major findings that were found within this study are that voters' issue priorities closely matched composite media coverage, not just their preferred candidates' coverage. The evidence supported agenda setting over selective perception. There was a high consensus among news media about significant issues, especially for major stories. So what are the implications of this? Well, for one, media acts as a primary source of, especially in politics, political information for most voters. Also, professional journalistic norms create similarity in news coverage across a multitude of outlets. But what effect does this all have on my show, which is a sports journalism show? Well, I'm telling you guys, the listeners, what to care about and what to pay attention to. In that sense, I am setting the agenda for what you are supposed to care about as a listener and someone that cares about Marion University football. For example, I emphasized this past Saturday being Marion's first shutout victory of the season, or for the first time this season that the Marion Knights had broken into the top 10 in the NAIA polls. I've set the agenda for what's important, and I've told you, the listener, what you are supposed to be caring about. Next, we're going to use framing toward clarification of a fractured paradigm, an article by Robert Entman, to analyze the framing theory and its place in my show. At its core, framing means selection and salience, choosing aspects of a reality to make more prominent than others in your communication. Frames define problems, diagnose causes, make moral judgments, and suggest remedies to the situation. There are four locations of these frames: the communicator, the text, the receiver, and the culture. In terms of how these frames work, they make information more noticeable, more meaningful, and more memorable. Power comes from both the inclusion of certain points in our communication and the omission of certain points in our communication. What is left out is just as much a part of the framing of the communication as what is included. So when we think about the big theoretical implication of this, it really questions the audience's autonomy versus how much the media influences the audience. When we take this theory and apply it to my show today, there were plenty of things that I have framed in a certain way for you as the listener throughout the show. I framed our victory against St. Francis this past Saturday as a victory of vengeance and redemption from last year's loss to them. I have also framed Olivet Nazarene as potentially frauds, potentially great. I framed them as kind of an unknown. And through that sense of framing, I have shown you, the listener, how you're supposed to perceive the statistics and the information that I am providing you. And that is all we have today for this week's episode of The Night Shift. As always, be sure to follow my Instagram page at Braden.Kid04 to be notified every time a new episode is released. We're going to make an Instagram page specifically dedicated to this show very, very soon. So be on the lookout for that. Once that is all put together, I'll link that new page on my main page and you will have full access to that. And I'll post updates pertaining to the show over there. As always, all episodes are uploaded to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, wherever you stream your podcasts. Mine will be up there. It should be another really fun one this Saturday over in Illinois. Start time will be 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central. So be sure to tune in online or take a little road trip if you're feeling up to it. Go watch it in person. You can find the link to tune in online to the game at muknights.com/sports/football/schedule. Go ahead and scroll down to the Marion versus Olivet Nazarene game. Click the link that says watch. It's your number 8 ranked Marion Knights against the number 19 Olivet Nazarene Tigers. This is Braden Kidd clocking out from the night shift. We'll see you next week.